Heart of Darkness. Wow, that still sounds so great. And that's from the mid-70s, or mid to late 70s. From the Data Panic in the Year Zero EP, Perubu. Heart of Darkness. I think we're looking into the Heart of Darkness right about now. Tarot Plane. Before that, from the album First, we heard Arcanum, or Arcanum, either way. And Martin Janacek from Catalog, we heard Singing Plywood Number 8. That's pretty much it for me. I gotta say goodbye here. This is Freeform Radio WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org. My name is Fabio. I'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Hardy White. And take it easy. Thanks everyone who checked in on the comments board, by the way. And have a good weekend. Bye.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we meditate together. A guided meditation, a subtle tour. I am your halfway decent docent. Let's spend some time together, exploring the world and each other. Well, hello, my friends. I am Hardy White, and welcome to How Do You Do It, Hardy? Part 2. In How Do You Do It, Hardy? Part 1, I explained how I do some of my radio theater production. For example, if you want to make a sound like a crushed skull, you just crush a green pepper like you would when you're making a salad. Don't make a salad like that. That's disgusting. Go ahead and chop it up. But that is not orally as interesting. So it was explaining things like that. How do I make certain sounds, the music accompaniment? But a big part of my show is what some detractors call just talking. Is he just talking? Why, yes. This is a very ancient form of entertaining others is the just talking. And it predates things like the accordion. So that's a leap. There was a big stretch in there where there was other things like Punch and Judy puppets. I could go on. It's really a huge array of things, props and musical instruments and things like that, stuff to put on and off your body. So there's all ways of entertaining people, as well as the speaking. But that came almost first after what they call the grunts and toots period of communication, where people would do, basically it was stand-up comedy, but just making body noises. And that was, boy, that would kill. And nowadays, we don't want to kill anybody. We just want to entertain them a little bit. And so I use words as a way of doing that. Now, when I speak like that, some detractors might say, oh, he's rambling. No. And that's what I'm going to explain today, how I put together a show. Now, people who have listened from the beginning to the end understand that it's a bit like one of those riddles. One of the riddles that begins, you're driving a bus, and then two people get on, then three get off, then one get on, then two get off. So I do that for roughly an hour. Now, if you tune in during that, and you don't make it to the end where I go, who's driving the bus? See how I bring it around. And if you just hear the middle It'll just sound like nonsense if I sent you off to read Moby Dick and you just read the middle cetiology chapters. You would become an expert on sperm whale blubber. But you might know nothing about the human condition, which is that savages wash their chests instead of their faces, if you've ever roomed with one. Oh my goodness, when I say savage, I don't know where Queequeg was from. That's in the beginning of Moby Dick, though. In fact, that's a good example of how you can just skip the middle. And I guess you could skip the middle of this show, too. But why? Why would you skip the ride? Say, you know what part of Disneyland I like? Just the line. And then when you get off and you go, wow, that was what really, it really is a small world. So that's what this is. And the middle part, well, that's where I just give examples. So I start a show with an idea, but a really kind of broad idea or something that's so general that it needs a great deal of explanation or specifics to answer, usually a question. So today I'm going to use the question, what is my purpose? So I look out and I want to entertain people, but I also say, gosh, this is an opportunity to help. You know, if I'm going to be in your house anyway, said, I don't subscribe to the cat in the hat thing where I come in, I make the mess, I clean it up. Yeah, that's bare minimum. But wouldn't it be nice if part of the entertainment was I come in and I do a little cleaning as well of a mess that I did not make. And so that's why I like to be a little bit helpful as I entertain. And I think a lot of good entertainment is like that. Like if you ever seen the series Severance, you say, man, that gave me a lot of tips for my workplace conduct, you know, how I should treat my coworkers and everything. See? And so they're doing a little bit of good. Ben Stiller knows. He knows to do good. So I would say, what is purpose? And then I would kind of answer that and say, well, I know that sort of there is no purpose outside of our relationships to others. So in a group, we have purpose. If I'm joining a theater group, let's say, and so I know my role, and I have purpose, and it's no greater or less than somebody else's purpose unless they have the lead role, and then they're more important, and I could be anybody, really. No. It's also, it gives you at least, if you want something to do, or you want, you know, to at least answer that question, purpose, well, that is really something that depends on what other people are doing. So who you are, you know, is defined by others around you, for better or worse. Now, why do I mention for better or worse from the funny papers? I didn't. It's just also an expression. You didn't hear that it wasn't capitalized. There is a story out there of the ugly duckling. I don't know if they're still taught in school like I was. All the fables were taught in school. When I was young, you would have to write out all the fables in cursive.
Say, oh, my head hurts for writing sour grapes.
So one of them was Ugly Duckling. And there's this duck family and another child. I guess it's a child. I don't know what they call another. Came in and say, you are not like us. Ducklings are very judgmental and sort of mean. The mean girl of birds. And they're like, idiot, you're ugly. And so, but they kept the duck around. And then they all grew up. And it turned out that it wasn't an ugly duckling. It was an even uglier goose.
Hey, I'm one of your brothers.
And the joke's on them because they couldn't get rid of him at that point.
I'm your goose brother. Ah, ah.
Like that. And they go, oh, Lord, what have we done? So it could go either way. And I think when the swan version that you might have gotten in your schooling, it's a regional difference. The swan version, I think the swan gets all snooty on them. And we don't like that one. We like people to, not people, but animals, fictitious animals, to get their comeuppance. Why not? If you can't punish like a character in a fable, who can you? And I don't know. We should go around punishing anyway. Oh, my goodness. So what I do then is I try to then take you on a little tour explaining things. For instance, this is like, have you ever seen or read, probably not read, no one's ever read Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. I don't know that it exists in print. I think that's so funny. I think what happened is somebody did a screen treatment, and then that was it. And then the original, where's the original? I don't know. It's gone. Is it a novel? I don't think it was a novel. I think it was like in a magazine, and that magazine is gone, long gone.
How can that be? I have the Rolling Stone that has John and Yoko naked on it.
Okay, I think just he is naked, but this would be older.
Oh!
And that's the truth. So, I don't know about that, but in the Dickens story, the life of the person who is making all the ethical moral choices is explained to them. And the way it's explained and the way that sort of ethics is sold to Scrooge is from a relation caring perspective. So, you know, who are the people in your life? Why should you care about them? And what happens when you do? And how does it affect? And that's what that wonderful story is about. But, you know, if you were to take any part of it, you go, this story is about a fella ate bad potatoes. And in many ways, that is what it is. You know, something can be, have a surface meaning. So, hey, yeah, is this fella on the radio? Is he just rambling? What is rambling anyway? I think that's on that. That might be on the end of that. I'm not trying to put blame on anybody else, but that might be on the listener's end. Because I think I've listened to famous thinkers lecture. And I'm not saying I'm a famous thinker. I'm just saying sometimes is the interest. If the things I'm not interested in, I tend to think it's not worth listening to. That said, I have found wisdom listening to things that are stupid. So here I'm gonna try to convince you from that angle. Is listening to something that's stupid valuable? If it's not, why did you spend so much time in college, around college age, watching bad movies then? What is your relation to camp at all? Camp? No, camp, not camp. Oh, I thought you meant camp. No, camp, not camp. Oh, when you said camp, I thought you meant camp, like camp. No, I meant camp. So now we know. And that's what you're getting to. Is that what you're saying, Hardy? Yes. Ultimately, I'm demonstrating. It's in the form of an explanation. But what it actually is the thing is the answer. What do you mean? Okay. I'm purporting to tell you about how your purpose is really relative to others. Like, I need you. Bring into this Hardy White community. You're something to me. So it might not last all the time, but there you are. You have purpose there. I draw you in. And I guess what I'm trying to give you is a portable purpose machine. So you can sort of go anywhere and find the gold in it. And you don't get that by being given constant gold nuggets. That's no fun. And we're used to that now. Everything is smooth, and it's gotten so smooth that we're rebelling against it. Have you noticed that? So AI will bring you flawless so-called art, except for the too many fingers thing, I guess. But things like that, or digital, you know, say, wow, there's just the resolution is so high, I don't care. It's higher than my eyes, so I don't know what to do with it. And you have to examine what was going on in the first place. What was the purpose of the picture or the information or anything in the first place? What was triggering the sense of beauty or awe or anything? Was it the details? Or was it more of a gestalt, a feeling, an overall sort of chord, the way things come together? You know, you're on a vacation or something and you're sitting there on the beach and there's a beach and that's one element. And then another element might be the ocean, the vast ocean, and that's another thing. You look out and you go, wow, that really triggers a feeling, a numinous feeling, something of wholly other, kind of transcendent spiritual thing where I'm drawn outside of myself because the thing over and against me is vast. And so who am I and what my purpose is right now is it's been ripped from me and now I've been integrated into this larger thing and I've lost myself. So then there's the sound, and then there's the waiter going, sir, excuse me, sir. And you go, what? I'm actually on a beach at a resort on this cot. Now, in the moment that I I realize that I am not part of the vast ocean, that I am on a cot. I must now rack my brain for specific tropical cocktail names. So now I am who I am in relation to the waiter wearing an aloha shirt. I'm not sure that I'm in Hawaii. Anywhere you can, aloha means hello, goodbye, peace. What's that? Gonna see your papers, it might mean. I don't know. But I don't know where we are, but that style of shirt just means vacation, and it means that he wants to hear the name of a rum slash tequila slash something else drink. And so now I am someone else, someone who was just briefly part of the ocean. I might have been the sky. For all I know, I was starting to focus on a seabird. A seabird that was soaring. Maybe he was looking for food. Can you imagine that looking? That it's like walking around Tokyo going, I'm looking for just the right sort of izakaya to pop into, like it's a fish, like I'm floating above the waves, waiting for this fish to get curious about the outside world or something, or just swim too close to the surface. Fish thinking, I'm going to get some sun today. And that turns out to be a fatal mistake, or is it just part of a wonderful circle of life? There was a wonderful children's film when I was young called Dying Baby Animals, and it was really intended to, was it animated or live action? And it was really intended to introduce the child to sort of nature in the way that the early shows, the 50s and 60s, shows like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Why would an insurance company show you predators like gazelles getting eaten? Well, insurance. This is like, hey, wake up. You know, stuff happens. Which are you? Are you a panther or are you a ibex? I don't even know. Can they even live together? We'll find out. As we're introducing this predator from another continent to these poor unsuspecting, I don't know what they are, shoppers in urban Cincinnati. No, don't do that. Okay. Africa somewhere, like a pond, dried up pond. I did see a thing, Marlon Perkins, it was in an office or something, he had a table and he had a turtle and he had a baby like cougar or something, and he's like, look how the turtle goes into its shell when the cougar tries to eat it. I couldn't believe it. And I was realizing I was raised by things like that, and I was thinking, and then wrote a very, very interesting paper about how did that really affect politics and people's thinking in that age. Like, you saw that. What famous, like, rock performers saw that, and then what did they write? You wonder what, you know. I guess they could self-report that, but I like to guess at it, and I don't have a guess. But and maybe it hasn't even happened yet. Somebody in their 70s is thinking, I'm going to write that song right now. Poor damn turtle, lying on a table on its back with its legs inside. Fearing a cat from across the pond. Grub it up, up. Because I think it was like an American box turtle versus, it was one of the early, I don't think they do those anymore. Let's see, what different kind of animals, what if they fight? And I hope we don't go back to that. It feels like we might, but I don't know. I wish Kimbo Slice wasn't dead. I'd like to see him fight animals. Not really, I guess. But I guess the AI, just that's one of the upsides. AI, Kimbo Slice, fighting animals. No, I don't want to see anybody fight anybody, really. When I close my eyes, what do I want to see? I don't really know. I wish I knew. I wish that's what I use my memories for. I go, what are things that gave me pleasure? I will recycle those. Speaking of recycling, I was thinking the other day where I was when they ran out of band names. And the reason, I'll tell you why they ran out of band names. They ran out of band names because nobody thought there'd be that many bands. Say, well, there's not that many, because what they were using is, like, let's see how many people, like, talented people there are, or performers, or interesting, or people with ideas like that. And they're writing those down, and they go, okay, we know how many that, why are there 10 times as many bands? And then they realized it was more of sort of a, more of a social community thing than it really was about art or anything like that. And so what happened then, what happens then is that when you go to name the band, you run out of names. There's no, your language has just so many nouns. When it exceeds that number, you start pairing them with verbs and you're making little sentences. Then all of a sudden now there's band, well, this started a long time ago, but at the end of the era of the having band names, they were all simple sentences. You could diagram the name of a band, much the way you could a rural Christian church that has a lot of modifiers. It's like United Christian Church of Kentucky in the Lord of Salvation upon the Tabernacle, with cheese or without. You can have either way. So, my goodness. What, have you strayed? Have I strayed from the initial point? So during the show, as I'm going along, I try to think, have I strayed from the initial point? Because I don't want to break that off. We are free diving, but we'd like to think when we come back up to the surface that the boat is still there, and we do have to do that to get air. So occasionally I will think, it's about purpose. It's a person listening. I'm trying to answer, you know, how do you, because there is maybe a lot of people have fantastic self-worth. And, but I see as a consumer of art that a lot of people maybe don't. And maybe people need to feel more loved or secure or something like that. I know that sounds silly, but one of the reasons I can use radio to do that is because, first of all, you can't see me. I feel less self-conscious about doing it. You can feel less self-conscious about hearing it. You know, not a lot of you are listening to me in a group. Some of you are. Hey, y'all listening in a group today? We are. We are, Hardy. We're out here. A lot of us, we're phoning in now. We're down here at the barbershop. I say barbershop. It's really a family hair salon. Anybody come in here, get their hair done. You don't even need hair. We have we'll wash your scalp or paint it. You can get something whimsical painted on it. And not just that, Hardy, but a lot of us, so we really love all your fun characters and all, and we've got paintings. A lot of people do paintings of using the hair. And this was a thing that they did back in Victorian times. Someone would die, they would cut off their hair, and they would weave something with it. They'd weave a sort of lace with it. Make art, make a relic for a person. So we've taken our own hair, and some of us who have done it are dead. So, and made a little textile sculptures, I guess is what they are, of some of your characters. Well, that's wonderful to hear, y'all, and that's exciting. I'm glad it's a live event. Y'all are all down there now. We are down here now. I'm supposed to be cutting hair, but I just nicked a young man's ear, and I feel terrible about it. It was his first haircut, and we're all fearing it's his last. I nicked his little ear, and I didn't mean to do that, and I thought, oh, I'll make it fun. I'll go, hey, little guy, do you know what a septic pencil is? We'll get you the septic pencil, like that. You know, I'm from another time, Hardy. Yeah, I understand that, but you ought to get them the. You know what? Also, they like is the. Is it? It's not Mercurochrome. Is that what comes out of you when you're born? No. What are you thinking of? What am I thinking of? But anyway, you put that on. Streptococcus? No. That's strep, like strep throat bacteria. I don't know. It'll come to me. But there's something. It's like iodine or something, and you put that on. Mercurochrome. Merconium is what comes out of you. That's your first poo. And then I'm gonna now I'm got Mercurochrome. One of them is a color film stock. I'm doing a lot of film photography. Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah, if you want any, like I don't know if celebrities ever come in there, but and a lot of them will have their own headshot. But if you ever need somebody to go in there and on a if I'll go and take pictures of any celebrities that come in your establishment.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. It doesn't happen a lot.
All right. Sometimes it's just a local celebrity, like somebody who's wanted for something or a weatherman. All right. Well, that's great. That's a weatherman is a great way of having to have an advanced degree just to get some minor local celebrity. It wouldn't be the way I would go. And I don't know that you used to need it. I remember reading David Letterman was a weatherman, and I don't know that he has a meteorology degree. Doctor, is it Dr. Letterman? It'd be funny if to be a late night host, you had to be an MD, PhD. I think you should. But the MD, you're not a clinical physician. It's just that you went to medical school and you have a PhD. So does that describe any of your listeners? Yes, smart Alec, actually it does. It does. It does. More than one. So what do you make of that? Well, it's disturbing. You know there were people with law degrees in the Heaven's Gate cult. I know that. So I know that intellect doesn't always correlate to not being a nut. But, oh, bless you. You know how I feel about you, friends. And what we are doing here is sort of old-timey. I don't know if you've ever gone to any kind of old-timey reenacting place. Like, I don't know if Rancocas is one. But there's something up there. Sturbridge Village in the Northeast is, I don't know if that's still there. I would go, there's a place up there, Sturbridge Prison, which is a cool sort of late 18th century American prison experience. There is but those kind of, I used to love those places as a kid, I guess because it's fun to mentally time travel. I think in Boone, Kentucky, I think there's like a fort there, and I think people do some kind of reenacting and demonstration because they want to show you now, this is how they used to throw their hatchets. Why would they throw their hatchets? This is how they throw their hatchets. And then I went recently, though, to visit, and I do often visit, the Shaker Village. And in Kentucky, there were a couple Shaker groups. What's a Shaker? Well, this is kind of a religious group, kind of a utopian in a way, and they would have these, they would build these houses and everything, live together, and they'd like to do stompy dances, and they'd say, let's not have sex. Excuse me, children, I'm sorry, but they would, it's a good thing. I don't know, I didn't mean to say it, but He was talking about not having sex to my children. Yeah, exactly. They like the stompy dances though, and they would something gifts is a good one, hymn that we still sing to this day at the grocery store. Everyone, simple gifts. And it's, 'tis a joy to be simple, 'tis a joy to be ton, 'tis a joy to unite them like simpleton, like that. And then they weren't simpletons. Oh, by no means were they simpletons. They invented computers made up entirely of wooden pegs and things like that. They were like, they like to simplify the work by making more efficient primitive tools and things like that. So I went there, and they used to have folks there. There was a fellow there who was a cooper, and I remember this distinctly. He was doing the coopering, and he was kind of cranky, and he was dressed in a period costume, and he goes, "Do anybody know what a cooper is?" And I raised my hand. I said, "Yeah, you make barrels." And he looked at me like I was an idiot, and he goes, "We make staves!" Like that. So I guess they make staves. I don't know whether the person who makes the barrel, you know, that's a barrel maker! I don't know if it's a separate person or I really did something wrong. But no, he was like, we make staves. And I don't even know if this is true. This is just one reenactor yelling at me. And that's my history lesson. So I should consult with some other things. Cooper, or Cooper, if you live in some parts of the United States, Cooper is a Cooper Union. So this was a Cooper, 5-0s. So the Cooper, and there was ladies weaving on the weaver loom. That's what it is, loom, and the fruit thereof, which are underwear. They used to weave their own underwear. Then there were a fella had a oxen team, a team of oxen. And that was interesting. He said they have to know and like one another, so that's why it's a thing. You can't just throw together a couple, you know, bovine. And what else did they used to have out there? People pretending to be tourists? No, I think those were real. It's hard to distinguish sometimes. A lot of times I'll do that if I'm time traveling. Sometimes to save time, I'll time traveling while I'm doing stuff here. And I'll be in two realities at once. And so I'll be walking around the Shaker Village and I'll be like, oh, my Lord, I don't know. I've lost track of who's a reenactor and who's a Shaker. And it's a funny thing. And it makes you a little bit off kilter, if that's helpful. I don't know if I'm going to experience that ever, Hardy. Do you not dream? Don't things all merge together like that at some point if you're drifting off to sleep or something? I like to imagine certain worlds like that. What if? And how is that any less real? Well, it's a lot less real. That's a very good point. And thank God dreams are less real, because I've had some catastrophes happen. And I can't tell you how many times I've had some sort of undersea creature biting at my legs. What's extra terrifying, and I think probably maybe some of these dreams are caused by it, is the knowledge that some human being, that was their experience. Hey, I'm floating in these dark waters. Ow. Whoops. What was that? And then that's sort of a last moment that we don't really get to have a memory of. And that's a good thing, I think. And sleep. So here's what would happen if you could remember your demise. You'd wake up in a cold sweat. Is that what heaven is? Is heaven just waking up in a cold sweat on a cloud? Yes. Well, I'm not sure I want that. Is that what rain is? Is that what? Yes, rain is the cold sweat of the dead. That's what our ancestors used to think. And my gosh, we know. How much more do we know now? If I'm going to spread disinformation on the radio, I think I should disabuse people of the idea that some horrible things are inevitable. What do you mean? I don't know. That just came to me. I'm going to think about that. I don't think being realistic doesn't necessarily mean not being imaginative. A lot of people abandon their imagination, so I'm just being realistic. I don't know. I think what we have is a limitation. What we have here is a failure to have a limit. What we have here is a limitation of imagination. And that is from Cool Hand Luke. And your edition might say failure to, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And that was dubbed in later in looping, additional dialogue recording or looping. And for American versions. But the original Cool Hand Luke, I know, he eats 50 hard-boiled eggs, and then he goes on a drinking binge after that. And then there's a montage of them going to all these fun little pastry shops in the city. And that is not in a lot of it's only in the European version. Because they have a different sensibility, you see? That means something different to them there. And a lot of times I think maybe I come from a different time and a different place, the place being just my house. where everything I do seems normal, you know? I don't get much pushback or reaction to it. And so all my behavior, all my strange behavior has become normalized to me because when I go out in the wild, I have to adjust, you know? And I wish sometimes in my own culture and for my own neighbors, I had some sort of cultural guide, you know? Like when I go to Japan, I'm like, okay, now don't eat while you walk. Do not eat ice cream walking down the street in Japan. Why? Well, I can tell you, I mean, it started with people didn't want you to get crap on their clothes. But do you see, it's like, it doesn't feel polite. All the next thing you'll be doing, you'll be like, I'm pooping. Like, so let's go and sit down and eat where the food doesn't have to fall off you or drip off of you. And you're not burdened with the garbage after. So I've just finished this big gulp thing. What do I do with the cup? I will toss it. Here we just like, there's so much land. I'll toss it over my shoulder. I can do that.
We have so much land that we had no special place for garbage. If you're done with a thing, and that's where it went. And if a place got kind of junky, we'd move on. And that's just that's the blessing of having so much land. And that's how the mountains were formed. Because who am I? I am one of the Titans. And my name is Kronos. Hi. I'm giving a little mythology. Many of you do not, like earlier I was talking about writing out, we had to write out Aesop's fable in cursive, in ballpoint. I'm not that old. In ballpoint on lined paper. Again, not so old that I had to do my own lines. A lot of the, oh God, when I think my parents or grandparents' generation went to school, they'd have to make their own lined paper with these very light blue ink things. I don't know how they did it. Something that I found not to be true is it was implied by lined paper that as you went through the educational system, your writing became smaller and smaller so that you would start out in elementary school with giant fat lines in which to write. But by the time you got to college, you were writing in the college rule paper, which is microscopically, it's so close together. I don't know if that's called kerning or I don't know, but it's all smushed together like that. And you're writing, your lines are all close together, and it looks like Robert Crumb's brother Charles's comics, and it was written in there like, that's college. And then graduate school, I don't even know what graduate school rule looks like. It's just blue paper, and you don't even put anything on it. When I was in school, computers weren't right there yet, but typewriters were going through a crisis. So I owned a manual typewriter, and I think probably in high school I might have done some papers on that. They had IBM Selectrics by that, but because I didn't live in a real estate broker's office, I didn't have an IBM Selectric or a secretary or anything, and we just had an old Royal typewriter. It was a nice one from like the 60s, but still, and yeah, I'd put ribbon in it. I still have it. I use it for sound effects. Tick, 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 because it's my police office. Tick, tick, tick. You know, what are you doing here, McLeod? McLeod, get out of here. I'm typing on my Royal typewriter. Click, 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 ping. But as college came and people were getting kind of electric typewriters, there came this typewriter. And maybe you had one. It wrote on thermal paper. So it wasn't a computer. It wasn't a typewriter, and it didn't write on normal paper. It wrote on receipt paper, like it wrote on Walmart 80s receipt paper. It was thermal paper, which is great if you're Dracula. So yes, this manuscript will never see the light, so I can type on it on thermal, and then nothing will ever. It will age fine in my crypt here. Dear Drac, dear self, dear me.
how many autobiographies start that way?
I believe Lawrence Welk, Dear Ami, it was weird. He had a funny way of speaking. This thermal typewriter was a transition, though. It wasn't something that was going to stay, because once there was printers and computers and things. We no longer needed the humble typewriter, even the one that IBM Selectric with its single ball like Hitler. And it would move all around when you need it. You know, none of all these keys, just all in this central crazy-looking thing that looks great when you take a picture of it with a macro lens. And I sort of miss those and saw some recently in our local, we have a historic house here. And it's the house of Hunt Morgan, the geneticist, the fruit fly genetics guy, one of the Hunt Morgans. One of them was a horrible general, and the other was a gentle geneticist. So it was his house, and there was an exhibit in there now of
things that we have in Lexington. I used to have in Lexington.
And I guess I don't know whether the typewriters or something, but there was an IBM Selectric typewriter, maybe. They used to make them here, I don't know, back in the time before I got here. And then they switched to printers and everything. It was a big printer company. It used to be here. And now we don't need words anymore. So we don't need printers or computers or anything. We're not quite there yet. But so many movies are like, there's going to be up above ground people and below ground people. I'm just saying. So we aren't there yet, but it feels like we're edging. Well, it doesn't quite feel like we're moving slowly towards, I think, having that. Could people speciate again? I guess if we moved planets, some people moved off planet, and we have to be apart for a long time for speciation to happen, I think. Isolated populations for a long time before they become different species. And then it only takes one person to say, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make love to an Earth person. And they go, you Martian traitor. So then after that, after speciation, you know, more and more time, then they are not able to reproduce anymore. They can't, I think that happened eventually to, you know, human species. We speciated before with the Neanderthals. Now, they briefly made a comeback doing insurance ads. It's funny how stories of extinction are somehow related to insurance. The insurance industry seems to be obsessed with just how dire the condition of living things is, and how just like you might as well just live for death. I guess I don't know whether that's the insurance message, but you know, have you thought about this? Memento mori, MF. I feel like that's what they're saying. But it's their business. You know, if I was making and selling coffins, if I was a joiner, yep. I think a joiner makes joints. I don't know. It would get mad at me. The joiner was probably equally as a hothead. I am a reenactor. I guess that's I took a really long time saying it. I'm kind of being a reenactor here. We're creating a village. And what's it take a village to do? Lots of things. Build a park no one likes. Put up a stage, you know, theatery things. Oh my gosh, I can't think of that. I'm glad I can't think of it. But that's amphitheater. Why couldn't I think of amphitheater? I don't need it. I don't need an amphitheater. and haven't been shopping for one.
Why does your search history then say amphitheater, different sizes?
Well, I confess a little bit. I was looking for an amphitheater. We have a very nice one. We built one in town, and it faces due west, which is a lovely way for if you've ever, you know, been a performer or is it due east? One of it faces in such a way that really it's a nighttime venue, and I think we have a couple like that in town where there's a little feeble little roof over it. It's like, this will protect you from what? That pounding sun in front of me? Is there no way, has no one said, well, let's just build it to face, you know, south. And then the little roof, the sun will be always, the roof will always be between us and the sun.
Well, that would be nice, an ideal situation, but that is not the way the park is constructed, so thank you. Thank you very much for your public. That's no longer, no more public input into this matter. We're going to go ahead and make the swimming pool just be orange juice.
This is largely the way that things work, I found out. I'd love to say we want the public's input, but not really. And now, my gosh. So if you want anything done, you really have to do it in your dreams. And that's okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm more that, like, how do I? I'm just about surviving. You can thrive. There's all sorts of people sell you stuff on how to thrive. If I had those answers, would I be selling it? Oh, my gosh. If I had the answer to world peace, I would sell it at such a price that absolutely nobody could afford it. Well, no, that's, I'd actually give that out free. That one I'm going to give out free. What would I charge for? Time machine plans. What else should be unaffordable? Things like that. But I think if they're of benefit, my gosh, I can't see what price would I put if I had some real truth. Now, there's a whole thing of being nuts and thinking you have a truth. I could definitely be in that camp. I could definitely be in, which camp? Camp. I could definitely be one of those that maybe thinks is well-meaning, but is also insane. And so their answers, if you just understand, you know, you will see all things clearly. And then I have a very elaborate, that's a hard thing about being a human. You don't know who's self-deluded, who's lying, who's crazy, who's correct, who's a genius sometimes. You know, we just ran into that in the culture. I won't name any names, but sometimes people's confidence, it's like they're so confident and they say something and you go, well, gosh, I guess you're smarter than me because that sounds crazy. And that's a real thing, you know, it's just hard to know. And so sometimes when you hear something, you don't know whether it's nuts or not, or it's truthful or anything like that. And then if you've bought it, there's this sort of like mutual agreed upon, you know, delusion. It's just like in theater. You know, you're not going to go into pays for tickets for a play and goes, you're pretending. You're just pretending. That's certainly not what you do. You know, you're in on it. And in many ways, every time you buy stuff, you're in on it. You're like, oh, God, you know, I believe that. Here we go. And so by giving you something that is, I think, inherently disposable, by just writing a joke on a piece of garbage and handing it to you, I think that's liberating. Because what if it is valuable to you? And I want it to be valuable in the way a recipe is valuable, not in the way a diamond ring is valuable. I want it to be something that really can't be stolen once you know it. Once it's in you, it expresses itself. All you need are materials. You have the blueprint. You are the vibration. It just needs to hit a string to make a note. And so that's the greatest gift I think it can give human beings, is a sense that they have something, they're worth something, and that sometimes the problem is that there's just no worthy thing up and against them. There's no good definition for them. And so what I tried to do when I when I speak, is to create some possibilities, some trigger some ideas. Say, what should I do? Get a hobby. What? Yeah, get a hobby. A hobby is a wonderful thing because it's sort of like no one expects anything of you. It's not a profession. It doesn't have to be your identity unless you really want to be a hobby person. And it gives you access to other something to talk about to, with other people. And it gives you something to focus on, and it might be a created purpose, and because it has nothing really depending on it, it's sort of liberating, you know? It's not like, well, my hobby is going to be, I'm going to be the president of a country. Well, that's going to be a full-time job, and some things are a full-time job. I'm going to have a franchise, an ice cream franchise. Okay, I don't know. You're not explicitly saying Carvel, but let's just go say you got, that's going to be a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? Like we just got done with St. Patrick's Day. And do you think a Carvel franchise owner is not spending their St. Patrick's Day and the days before it making cookie opusses? I hope that's the plural. I don't know. So that's what it is. That's the real job. But if you were a hobby, if making ice cream was your hobby, freeze you up. Get it? I just had children. Sometimes if you make a dad joke, somewhere in the universe, a joke baby is born, and you're a little comedian, huh? That's pretty horrible. You make a stand-up, every time you make a corny joke, a stand-up comedian drops from some unwitting person as a baby, as an infant, and then they are doomed. You've doomed them for a lifetime. And that's why you go to these clubs, you go, what, there's so many of them. Stop punning. You may, there's a price. Words create reality. I feel like I'm doing that in many ways. And I would just like to point something out. So I create reality with my words. And you say, well, your words to me are an irritant. And I say, they are, was not the pea to the princess an irritant? And yet a pea to many of us. When I hear pea and mattress, they should have changed it to corn kernel or something like that. That was a fable that I hated having to write out in cursive. I was like, man, that is just, can we make it a little piece of rock or something? P. Maybe that meant something different back then or something. Bean, say bean. Because we have something called pee-pee. So, I don't know, maybe that's what it meant. How many mattresses? There's not enough mattresses. Like if it was urine and not just a pee. I'm on the princess's side. Even if there were 10 mattresses, I was just knowing that the mattress number one was pee-soaked. I'd be like, can I have I need a fresh bed. And then let's get that cleaned up and then we'll be good. I guess I don't know. If it was mine, I'd be like, well, whoops. But, oh my goodness. So what I'm saying is if I am an irritant, are not some one person's irritant is another person's pearl beginnings. Pearl instigator. If they're going to make a cultured pearl, they annoy it first with a little spear, a microscopic little spear they put in its little belly. I don't know what that is. They open up and they put in its fleshy, Dalek-like interior, they place a microscopic spear, and then the oyster creates a coating around it to guard itself from the sharp irritant. So it's I'm gonna secrete, and it secretes just the way a whale secretes something around undigested squid beaks. It secretes ambergris, and the oyster around the irritant, it could be a grain of sand, secretes what amounts to a pearl. And so... And then what is one pearl? I don't know. One pearls what one didn't just knit, I suppose. Wherever you are in the process, that's what you're doing. And to make a necklace, you need many pearls. So I know I am not alone. And you're going to have to listen to a lot of podcasts and radios to get enough for a necklace, my friend. So maybe just keep it in a little box like I did when I went to SeaWorld and they give you a pearl. They don't give it to you. You got to go, ah, that lady. And then that lady will come up and puts an oyster in a little bucket. And then you get a pearl. And because you're little, you keep it. You say, I'm going to keep a pearl. And then your mother tries to throw it away, and you don't. And then you realize it's one of those like irregular kind of pearls, and it just looks like a tooth or a stone. And you're going to get confused. You're going, is that my kidney stone? Did I pass that, or did I get it at SeaWorld as a 9-year-old? Did you speak that way as a 9-year-old, Hardy? No. That's like my 2-year-old voice or something. I usually do it for the dog. But, I really relate to humans when they're beginning to use the language and they use it as mainly just like a sound thing, like a tone thing, and they're not really, the actual word is not super important. It's mainly the musicality of it. And there used to be more videos like that of kids doing, I love that. Like, it's so proof that you don't really need particular words. Everybody knows what that child is saying. And so perhaps we should be more creative with expressing ourselves. And once you use these words, when you're locked in, the words start breeding in you. So be careful of language. You start speaking to yourself in it. You know? It's weird. Do you, for instance, if you were really a failure, wouldn't you also be saying it to yourself in languages that aren't the language that your native language? So wouldn't you say it in French or all these languages that you didn't understand? But you don't. You're just going, you're a failure. And it's in, like, it even sounds like, well, that's not even my voice. I know. So see how it's just like you wouldn't even, those words, you don't even know what they mean. So let's start replacing the words in your head with my so-called ramblings, or just music. Oh, I see your point now. So I am actually getting in the way of music because there's normally music in the. So this is the. Oh, I feel you. This is not the best way to make music. Is this primitive way? I used to think that watching the Cosby Kids. Now I feel vindicated because of dun, 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 bah. But it's like, wow, they're trying to make, we're making music using old bed springs. And I'm like, ugh. Like, literally, your public school probably has instruments. You know? So don't give me this. Go learn something that, we see now. I mean, all this is obvious now. I wish I had been saying it back in the day. Oh, my friends. I'm so full of blessings from you. You're giving them to you. Send them to me in your thoughts. I hope that's what I'm getting. Something. I'm getting beamed. Something. It could be from another planet. It could be a distress call from future Martians. We want to come back and make love. You can't now. Now you have antenna. So that was up to you. Now y'all are like a red color. That's from the sand. Okay. I don't know, but still, let's, you made your planet. Oh, my friends, I'm just being silly. I welcome everyone to come back from the planet they're on, to go whatever planet you want to live on. I don't begrudge you that. My goodness. Sun Ra did so well here on this planet. He's I don't know whether he's the first one to come from another planet to be, and then to do like almost better here than I think the moons of Saturn. I wonder about that. So like Eric Dolphy, but instead of like, the Netherlands or whatever, it's Saturn. No, he's not from the Eric Dolphy's from Los Angeles. This is probably not a good. But you know, maybe he was more appreciated in Europe. Who are you talking about? I'm talking about you. Do you know? In the Europe of the mind. And so at the end, I try to bring it back on around to where I was in this, let you know that you're driving the bus. That's what all along, it's about your reaction to things. I'm giving you things to react to, not to be convinced by. You know, when you get to go to a museum and you get annoyed by something, you know, that's nobody's willingly going to do that to you. That's just artists have to do that. But it might make you think something you didn't want to or have time to, or it was like, oh, I didn't want to think about that. But now that I do, I've watched so many long, boring movies that changed my life because I made it to the end. And it turns out, looking back, it wasn't boring. It was my eyes hadn't adjusted the way when you go underwater and open them up. But then they adjust, and then you realize you've made a terrible mistake and that some sort of bacteria or something has swum in there. So with it, so everything has a risk. I love you so much. I am so glad to be with you. I am, this is Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide, around the globe. So glad that we can be together through the miracle of radio. And it's not a miracle so much as it's an engineering thing, and it can be explained to you by your any number of high school science teachers. Bless you. See you again.
So damn good. Baby girl, I'm looking forward to being alone with you. This is where I break down. This is where I talk a little bit to you. This is where I speak my game. Ain't no shame in what I do. Baby girl, my eyes get big every time I see your face. So I took this time to approach you, cause I got some things to say. You know I want you and I'm hoping that you want me too. See, as you wanna be, I love the way you walk. I love everything about you, baby, so can I get your number, girl? Can I get your number? When I see you, baby, girl, I have to pick you out. You as sexy as you wanna be, shorty, put down the doubt. I gotta get your name and your number, cause you're hot like summer. Okay, now, what type of shorty I've been searching for? I wonder, when we get together, it's gonna be right. When we get the walking and talking, doing some of the things you like. Girl, I'm free. I'm gonna love it when it's just you and me. Alone, kissing and hugging, that's how it's supposed to be. And you gonna be cool and chill. Always be real. When I gotta make my main girl, we can do the thing. I feel for you, baby, and I know you feel the same. Hey, smile at your boy, you can make my day. And I'ma get you right when you come around my way. So don't listen to me.
With a boss, shooting down a bird with the top chopped off. I ain't never seen a girl like you. Style so pure and her face so cute. She likes my cologne. Sex on the beach and that's what I'm on. Hey, you ain't gotta be alone. Either we together or we talking on the phone. Hey, don't you see what I see? Ride with a G till I D-I-E. The perfect girl comes once in your life. So when you got him in, you better hold it tight. Hey, and you just what I need. Right next to me in the whip on D. I'm 23, plus 30s. White leather seats, about ATV. You can play PS3 while I smash out at the PSC. I wanna take you home with me. Young J-A-Y-R-O-C. Chia, we gotta smile on. Cause she ride with the stunts and your boy Kyle. Chia, we gotta smile on. Cause she ride with the stunts and your boy Kyle.
Sexy as you wanna be. Give me your name and your number. Just be staring when you walking through the hood, cause you be like, it's so taboo.